people in general, Christians, believers in Jesus Christ that know the Word of God, have been steeped in the Word of God, have been in church many years, are finding that there is a bit of a disconnect. There can be a great disconnect between what they know and what they actually anticipate that God will do in their lives. And so we find ourselves really handicapped as Christians because we know all this stuff, but we're not really leaning on it, depending on it, and expecting it in our day-to-day living.
That's Priscilla Shire, and she's been a frequent guest here on Focus on the Family, and you might resonate with what she had to say there about that disconnect that occurs sometimes between what you believe and how you live your life. And we're going to invite you to stay with us for some really interesting conversation about that subject matter on today's program. I'm John Fuller, and our host is Focus President and author Jim Daly.
John, our guests today have a connection to Priscilla Shire, the woman you just heard, that connection being dad and sister, and I'm so grateful to have them on the program today. You remember Dr. Tony Evans' book, Kingdom Man. Focus helped publish that, and it came out last year. It's been a terrific bestseller.
It really has been. The message resonated with so many men out there, and I'm really pleased that we were able to partner with Dr. Evans on that.
And we're going to flip to the other side of the coin today and talk with the ladies. Regardless of whether you're a stay-at-home mom, a working mom, a single mom, what we're going to discuss today will not only apply to you, but I think will provide you with some great encouragement and some tools to get through the day and to do it in a way that honors the Lord. We joined Dr. Tony Evans, who has been on the program many times, such a gifted pastor, communicator, and his daughter, his other daughter, Crystal Evans Hurst in Dallas, to talk about their new book published by Focus on the Family in Tyndale called Kingdom Woman. It hits the bookshelves today, and I'm excited to get this message out, John.
And we're actually going to have a big online launch party for the book officially on July 27th, so mark your calendars now for that. Priscilla Shire will be hosting, and we'll have some fun giveaways, followed by a simulcast of a women's conference taking place there at Dr. Evans Church, and we'll post the link on our website. But again, that's going to be July 27th at 12 noon Eastern Time. Let me go ahead and mention that Crystal Evans Hurst is a homeschooling mom of five. She's the daughter, as you said, Jim, of Dr. Evans, and she herself is a very gifted speaker.
It runs in the family.
It does. She's a mommy blogger, and she's pretty transparent about some of the difficulties and experiences she's had in life as a daughter, as a wife, as a mom. And then Dr. Evans, as well as senior pastor of that church I mentioned, is the president of the Urban Alternative and host of the radio program The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans. That's heard on many of these same stations. And he has those two daughters we've mentioned, a son as well, and several granddaughters. So it seems that he does know a little bit about raising women of character.
Yeah, he's done a great job. There's so many women, I'm thinking, my wife as well, who struggle from time to time. Just, you know, it's just part of the burden of being a woman. And we men need to understand that as well and be there for the women in our lives. So let's go ahead and pick up the conversation on today's Focus on the Family.
And Jim, we're starting with a question you asked Crystal, asking why she wrote the book Kingdom Woman with her dad, Dr. Tony Evans.
Well, I think that I'm in the process of, I mean, I'm in the middle of my life, I think. I'm still mothering small children, teenagers, young adults. Haven't arrived in that sense, but I've been in a lot of places. I've been a single woman. I've been a single mom. I am a part of a blended family, seeking to find my own purpose as I'm walking through life. And I think that having good examples in my life is what motivated me to want to be a part of the project, because I don't think I've arrived. I don't think you really ever arrive, but I think there's always someone that's a step ahead of you on the journey. And I've been blessed to have a mom and grandmothers who have shown me what a kingdom woman looks like and what I can aspire to be.
So what does that kingdom woman look like? Let's start there. What should a woman be doing to glorify God in her daily routine?
Well, I think the first and foremost thing that she should be doing is just seeking out his will for her life. And that means that she has to be walking closely with him so that she can hear his voice and can know exactly what it is that he has for her to do in this specific time and season of her life. If you get your marching orders from the master, then you know exactly who you're supposed to be in that season of life that you're living.
Tony, in what ways does this book kind of mirror your message in Kingdom Man? I would imagine there are some parallel tracks here.
Absolutely. First of all, the mere definition of a kingdom woman. We define a kingdom man as a male who is operating under divine authority. Well, that basically is the concept of a kingdom woman. It is a female who is operating under the rule of God in every area of life. When God created Adam and Eve, he gave his covenant to both of them. He said, let them rule. And that should make every woman feel special, because that means that God never intended for his purposes in history to exclude her. She was to be fully a part of God's program. And so that means that, ladies, you do not have to accept second-class citizenship in the kingdom, because you are critical to the kingdom. And so we try to make this book, Crystal and I, a book of empowerment. Women ought to be able to give a female roar, a lioness roar, you know, whether you're single or married, because when you finish reading this, you're going to feel like, yeah, part of this jungle is mine, and I'm supposed to be roaming this jungle and doing some things too. So because we feel so many women, the culture has neglected them, abused them, men have mistreated them or simply made them objects, and ladies are more than that from God's point of view, and we wanted to express that, make them feel that, and make them run to that.
Well, let's talk about that sense of value, because I think women, by and large, in the culture today do feel undervalued or not valued at all. And how does a woman find that value in God?
Well, the first and foremost thing is they have to let God define them and not everybody else. And that is the culture, the society, certainly the media. And unfortunately, men have misdefined women. Even the concept of being a helpmate. When you look at the Hebrew word for helper suitable for him, that Hebrew word is used of God's strength on behalf of his people throughout the Old Testament. So it's not just a cook and a cleaner and somebody to change diapers. This is someone who represents God's authority and power in day-to-day life. So that upgrades a lot of the definitions that women are given that keeps them away from the centerpiece of what God is doing. They are at the center of what God's purposes are in history.
Crystal, you talk about in the book Kingdom Woman, this fear of God, for a woman to first fear God. What does that mean? Because that can mean a lot of different things to people.
Well, I think when you hold God in high esteem, when you respect who he is, when you honor what he says his purposes are for you, then that puts things in alignment. And we live in a culture where the definition of woman, who she is, who she should be, is constantly being defined by different folks all the time. I mean, there's this through time, just when you look at even the feminist movement and how it shifted and changed over time, how we're defined, what that looks like. It's kind of become difficult to keep up with it. You have women who have been told they should be all and do all, and now they're struggling to bear the weight of it all. Mm-hmm. And when you fear God and let him define who you should be, and let him define what you should carry, then that puts you in the right position then to receive what he has for you.
Do you think when you look at the cultural nuance of all of what you just said, so you look at the issue of abortion, the issue of no-fault divorce, all of those things, which were sold to the culture decades ago to be liberating for women, that this is going to free women. You think it's accomplished that?
Well, I think if you look back to the Garden of Eden, just like Dad was talking about, Satan always comes to us with part of the truth. And that's what he did with Eve in the garden years ago, and that's what he does today. There are parts of it that are true. There are parts of it that, yes, we as women should be recognized for the talents, gifts, and abilities that God has given us. But then to sell the half-truth, which is use them outside of God's will, just sets you up for trouble. And so, yes, I do think that we have been sold part of the truth, which is you are worth more maybe than the culture is acknowledging. But the other half of it is don't seek your value outside of how God defines you and what he's asking you to do.
You know, it's a very interesting shift of words in the Garden of Eden with Eve. Up until that point, God defined himself as the Lord God. He used two Hebrew words, Yahweh Elohim, Elohim being God's power, Yahweh being God's relationship. But when he talked to Eve, he dropped Lord and kept God. So he wants women to keep religion, just don't let God rule in the relationship. So you can go to church, you can have Bible study, you can have your coffee and tea and fellowship groups, as long as Elohim is not also Yahweh. And so he wants to keep the religion, leave the Lord out, so that women get to define themselves, their relationship, their families, and everything else by a religious activity and not by the rule of God relationally in their lives.
And what's the net of that, Tony? Why does the woman struggle in life if that's all she gets out of the relationship with God?
Well, the only reason that the struggle happens at the level that it happens, we all struggle at different levels, but when the relationship is not intact like it ought to be, roles get flipped. That's what happened with in the garden. Eve became the leader. Adam became the passive responder. All hell broke loose. Sibling rivalry, murder, decadence in the culture. All of that was the result of Satan being able to shift the rule of God as God intended it to be. So ladies have got to get back to that divine rule, not allow anything or anyone to define it other than how God has defined it. That means they can now be under God, and to be under God in the Bible means to like being under an umbrella in a thunderstorm. It doesn't stop it from raining. It just stops it from raining on you.
That's good. Crystal, let's talk about some of the figures in the Bible, the women that stood out for you in your book, Kingdom Woman. What are those role models that grabbed your attention?
Well, you know, I think about Esther. She had a lot of things going for her. And because of her beauty and because basically the king picked her, she had an opportunity to go to a great place at a great time and have it be all about her. And what she realized is that the gift that she was given, her beauty in this case, and also her presence in front of the king, was not just for her benefit, but it was for an opportunity to seek God and say, what do you want me to do with this opportunity? How do you want me to use this to benefit the culture? And I think that is the key. We have so many women who are educated. We've been to school. We've had great jobs. We've had great work experience. We've raised kids. We've done all these great things. And what we don't want to lose is, what does God want out of this? Yes, it's great that I maybe went further than my mother or was able to accomplish more than women that came before me. But what does that mean? What am I supposed to do with this? And until we actually stop and ask that question, we really won't take complete advantage of what God has allowed for us to experience.
How would you answer that question for yourself?
Well, I think that I can look back and see how there are a variety of experiences, both work experiences that I've had being a single mom. I was 19 when I had my first child, and she was born out of wedlock. All of those experiences, I can see how in this moment, at this time, even for writing Kingdom Woman, God has taken blended family, being a wife, and all of these different things, and allowed me to see what womanhood looks like from so many different angles. And so all of that adding up to now, I'll be honest, when my dad came to me and talked to me about writing the book, I really didn't want to. I really thought, no, this is not my season. I'm still raising my kids. My hands are still full. And it was a conversation with a friend that said, but this is the time. Look at all the experiences that you've had. And it's not just to say, I've had these experiences. This is the time when God is calling you, just like he called Esther to say, I've not just given you these experiences just to give them to you, but it's so that you can share what I've taught you through these experiences with other women.
Crystal, you said something that's very important, the brokenness that you experience. So many women, I think, feel that they've blown it, that they don't have the ability to live up to the standard. And something you just said about being 19 and having a child out of wedlock, how did you compensate for that emotionally? I mean, how did you go to your dad, who's a pastor, a well-known pastor? As a woman, how did you manage that emotionally? How did you work through it?
Well, you know what? I've been asked that many times, and I always give the same answer. I try to come up with a really interesting answer. But the real answer is, if I had to do it over again, I couldn't tell you how I did it. All I can say is that it's the grace of God, just in terms of walking through that. My parents are very loving. They were very supportive, but it wasn't easy. It was the hardest phone call I think I've ever had to make in my life. But I can honestly say as well that when you're in a situation where you're completely dependent on God, I can say for certain and from experience that he holds your hand and carries you when he needs to. And then you can look back and just say, I'm not quite sure how I made it, but I know God was with me.
You know what? You know, of course, being a part of that and hearing that and walking through that spiritually with Crystal and relationally with Crystal, it shows how God can hit a bullseye with a crooked stick. And when you look
at... Are you saying I'm a crooked stick?
I think we all are. That's the point.
Yeah. Well, you know, and Crystal and I walking through this book, and we begin to look at some of the ladies in the book and how their story ended. I mean, how Esther's story ended. Chris was talking about how Rahab's story ended. How Sarah, who laughed at God, how her story ended. Mm-hmm. Over and over again, you see how these stories ended, where God met people in their pain, met women in their pain, and gave them hope and help and deliverance and victory and sustenance and supply, and then used them to advance his cause and kingdom and history. And what that means is that you're not a leftover lady. Mm. You are a creme de la creme. No matter where you are now, that doesn't have to be how your story ends. And that's why we're excited about this book, because what it does is it offers ladies the power and purpose and possibilities that are still in front of you, no matter where you are at this given moment.
Well, and I think the difficulty is when you are trying to live up to the standard that is expressed in Scripture, that can be demoralizing if you're doing it in your own power. Proverbs 31, for example, you know, when I talk to women about that verse or that proverb, it can be either liberating or a weight, because I don't measure up like that. I don't get up early. I don't buy and sell real estate. I don't make fabric. They feel it more as a task that they can't achieve, as opposed to the spirit of the woman described in Proverbs 31. How do you manage that as a woman? How do you embrace that and say, I don't have to be her. I can be who God made me to be and glorify God in that?
Well, I think the key with that woman is that she was doing a lot. She wasn't doing it all at the same time. The other thing is that, and you mentioned this, is that it's the spirit of that scripture. It's the spirit of the woman. It's not literally saying that every woman, if she doesn't have a sewing machine and can't make clothes from scratch, that she's a failure.
Right.
What it's saying is that she sees to the needs of herself and her household, and she takes pride in herself and her family when they walk out the door. Mm-hmm. That's a principle, not so much a literal statement.
Well, and part of that, and reading the book Kingdom Woman, I read about your track and field experience and, just your achievement and your disappointment. Talk about that. What happened as a sprinter, want-to-be?
As a sprinter, want-to-be. Definitely a want-to-be. I mean, when you're running a race, at the time it was the 800, 400 and the 800, both of those.
That sounds exhausting.
It is exhausting. And today you watch the Olympics and they run at full steam the whole way. Mm-hmm. Well, there comes a point where your physical body just shuts down. It literally shuts down and says, I can't go any further. And you're willing your body to do things that it's just not going to do. And I think that that's been a parallel of life for me a lot, because there are races that we're called to live, paths that we're called to take. We're literally picking one foot up and putting it down in front of the other. It's just a monstrous task. And sometimes when life gets hard, when there are difficult situations to walk through, literally that's all you can do is one foot in front of the other. You don't know how you're going to make it to the finish line. And I know there are a lot of women who are in hurting situations. You know, maybe there's illness, or maybe there's job loss or financial difficulties. And if you try to look at the finish line and figure out how you're going to finish, you won't be able to figure it out. But God walks with us one day at a time. He gives us our daily bread. He allows us to pick up one foot and put it down in front of the other.
Crystal, you're describing an environment. Again, I'm thinking of poor Jean. I mean, some days just being overwhelmed. The kids are messing around. The house is not the way you want it. Maybe you're working outside the home and you got all that pressure. Speak to that woman. How does she get a handle on it today? How does she just simply relax and trust God and get going and make some things happen?
Well, I think the key is knowing what's important for God for you that day. And a wise woman once told me, when you get up in the morning, before you put your feet on the floor, if you stretch your hands towards heaven and ask God what's important to him for you that day, and to let him know that you're open to any of his interruptions, that you're open to anything that is not on your agenda, but you're open to his agenda, then he will order your steps on that day. And that kind of sets you free, that you don't have to necessarily complete this list that comes down to you from other people, that you're only responsible for doing what God wants you to do. That means we're not going to do everything, and we're not going to do everything all at the same time, but we can do well what he's asked us to do and accomplish what he's put before us.
For the woman that feels overwhelmed, though, and she doesn't even know how to make that space, because she's getting up out of bed and dashing to get the kids ready or dashing to her checklist of chores or things that she needs to do before 8 o'clock. What wisdom would you give her? How can she do that differently to get her day ordered?
Well, you know, I think about Jesus, and he was very busy all the time, but he made space. And by space, I don't mean, you know, an hour-long quiet time with God where you're on your hands and knees and your kids don't interrupt you. What I mean is it could be in the car on the way to work that you're talking to God, or maybe it's time that you spend with him listening to the radio and just having a quiet time with him. But you have to make time. And Jesus did the same thing. He's a very busy person. He was constantly pulling away to rest, pulling away to have quiet, and pulling away to talk to the Father.
Mm. That's something that's very difficult, I think, for men and women both. And in this culture, that it's just, I think we have to have those sometimes Nehemiah prayers where we just kind of shoot up to the Lord a quick one and say, I'm moving fast, but I don't want to forget who you are. Our guests today on Focus on the Family are Dr. Tony Evans and his daughter, Crystal Evans Hurst, talking about Kingdom Woman.
Tony, what Crystal just said about that commitment that we should have toward the Lord in all facets of life, when we wake up, the first thing we do, acknowledge him. It seems so simple to know that. But why is it so difficult to do it? We know the path, but we struggle.
Well, it's difficult because we've got three enemies out there, the world, the flesh, and the devil, and they're full-time distracting us from doing just that. If we really knew how powerful it was and is to have God at the center, and we operate under his rule as a consistent orientation to life, then what is complex may still be complex, but we would be overcoming it. It wouldn't be overcoming us. And that is the nature of an overcomer. You can't be an overcomer unless you have something to overcome. And so all the complexity of life that we have to overcome, God has said that if you will operate under my rule, bring me to bear on the simple and the complex, I may not take it from you, but I will walk with you through it. And we will come through this together.
And I think the Lord really loves, I'll use that word, I think he loves to see his children respond to him. I'll give you an example. You may not know this. I don't think you do. Many years ago, probably in the early 90s, I was working at Focus on the Family. I was traveling. I was at an airport. I saw you and your wife. You had bought, I think it was maybe an Egg McMuffin.
Sounds like me.
And you, which I enjoy. But you sat down at the gate with your wife at a busy gate at an airport. I can't even remember the airport. But I saw you take your wife's hand and you prayed over your little Egg McMuffin right in the front of everybody. And I thought that was such a powerful little faith step. And it spoke to me. I didn't come over to you because I didn't want to bug you. But I just saw you from a distance. And you live that kind of life, where you'll take a moment to acknowledge God. I saw it in action. And that's a time when you could have just blown it off. But you didn't. And that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, I'm talking about bringing God to bear on the little things, the little everyday things, as well as the big things that are emergencies. That's kingdom living. Kingdom living is living under his rule, no matter what the situation is about. And when women do that, as well as when men do that, kingdom men and kingdom women, and when they do that together, if they're married or in a relationship, when you do that together, boy, you are bringing heaven down to speak to hell, and heaven will win.
Mm. Every time.
Every time.
Crystal, that's a great point. How do we tune into the Lord? How does a woman who's got that hectic pace of life, that is frazzled, job, kids, husband, how does she calm down to hear the voice of God?
You find him in the moments, the little moments. They don't have to be these big moments. I have had lots of different seasons in my life where God met me on the treadmill. God met me in the car. I would tell the kids it's quiet time, and it's really more about me needing quiet time than it is about them.
How'd that work out for you, by the way?
You know, it works every now and then. It works every now and then. But you find little moments. And I think, you know, depending on your season of life, there's an older lady in my life, and she loves the fact that she's older and single because she has hours and hours and hours to spend with the Lord. Well, that's not my story. But it wasn't her story either when she was younger and had small children. It's not the story of a lot of working women, even if they're single and don't have any children. You're just busy, you know, trying to get to work, trying to get things done. But when Jesus was here and he was walking on the street and the woman with the issue of blood touched him, It wasn't long that he spent with her. I mean, there's a mention of it in the scriptures. But in that moment, she got power from him and she was healed. Mm-hmm. And so I think the goal is not to say that we have these extraordinarily long and gorgeous prayer times. I think the goal is, are you positioning yourself where he can touch you?
Crystal, following up on that, I wonder if there is an example for you personally of when it was so crystal clear what God was saying to you. I mean, he just spoke, maybe in the brokenness, in the busyness. What's one of the more powerful times God got your attention?
When I was in college and I was pregnant with my first daughter, I was really struggling a lot with just my value as a person. And I read one scripture, wrote it down on a sheet of paper. It was about my value to him. It was in Psalm 139. That led me to go on a search in the scriptures looking for verses of how God loved me. I wrote all those scriptures down on notebook paper, stapled them together. It was about three or four pieces of paper, folded it up, walked around with it in my purse for 3 years. Still have those pieces of paper, and they've yellowed with time. Mm-hmm. But those were scriptures. It wasn't a deep Bible study. You know, I didn't go and have a group. There was no long DVD session. It was just God's word spoken to me on a notebook sheet of paper that I read over and over and over again to rehearse his love for me. Mm-hmm. And I think in the simplicity of God's messages to us is where we find value in him. Mm.
There's another story that I don't know if Crystal remembers this or not, but I remember it. And that is, she writes down everything. And she carries around a little book that she keeps all of her notes in. And she had mistakenly left it on the top of the car. And she went and drove off. And of course, it flew off. And when she noticed that she didn't have it, and then remembered she had put it on the top of the car, she had now driven a long way away from it. And yet her whole life was in this book. And she came home and told me the story that she pulled over to the side and said, "You promised, Lord, that you would be my father. You know how much I need this book with all my notes in it, and I don't know where it is, and I need you to be my father right now." Mm-hmm. An hour or so later, she got a call from a guy who saw it lay on the side of the road and called her to say he found the book and she could come get it. And so that little story that I heard from her let me see how God is concerned about notebooks when they're important to you mm-hmm. in that situation in her life. So that was a good reminder for me, and I think a good reminder for all ladies, that God wants to be your father comprehensively. He wants to be over you in every area of life, big and small.
You know, that's a great point, Tony, that when we rely upon the Lord shows up. Crystal, for the woman who is struggling like that, who hasn't felt the Lord's touch, the Lord's hand, in her life, how would she go about connecting to God?
There are times in life where you feel God's touch directly. I call them soft kisses for me. There are other times when you feel God's touch through other people. And there are times when I couldn't feel God personally, but I could feel the hand of a friend or the hug of a mother figure in the church. And I think that's where connectivity, especially in the body of Christ, is so important. Because God shows up in lots of different ways. He shows up personally where, you know, you hear him speaking to you and you know that he heard that breath prayer and he shows up like that notebook story. And there are other times when you know he's there because somebody hugs you real good and you know that God sent you that person on that day.
So sensing those things as gifts from God is a good first step, knowing what's good in life and that all good things come from the Lord.
That's right.
And we'll pause there, but there really is a lot more to come from our guests, Dr. Tony Evans and Crystal Evans Hurst, about being a kingdom woman. If you'd like to find out more about walking an authentic life of faith and becoming all who God intends you to be, stop by our website, where you'll also find tools and resources to help your family thrive. Our program was provided by Focus on the Family. And on behalf of Jim Daly and the entire team here, thanks for listening in. I'm John Fuller, inviting you back next time when we'll continue the conversation and once more turn our hearts toward home.
You have women who have been told they should be all and do all, and now they're struggling to bear the weight of it all. And when you fear God and let him define who you should be, let him define what you should carry, then that puts you in the right position then to receive what he has for you.
Well, those observations come from Crystal Evans Hurst from the last Focus on the Family broadcast, talking about what it means to be a kingdom woman. And we're going to get into the very heart of what that really means, to live your life to the fullest for God as a kingdom woman, on today's Focus on the Family, hosted by Focus President and author Jim Daly, and I'm John Fuller.
John, last time we talked about Kingdom Woman, and you know, so often I'm thinking of my wife, Jean, you're just overwhelmed. You got so much going on, trying to be the Proverbs 31 woman, trying to keep the house together. Perhaps you're even working outside the home in addition to working within the home. And women today, I think, are stressed out, feeling that there's too much to do, that there's no way I can get it all done. That can build some resentment because maybe husband is not doing the things that you'd like him to do. And we want to talk about all of this today. And it's based on a Focus published book with Tyndale called Kingdom Woman. And it's written by two wonderful people. One, Dr. Tony Evans. Tony's been on the broadcast many, many times here at Focus on the Family. And his daughter, Crystal Evans Hurst. And I just want to say welcome back to Focus on the Family.
Well, it's always a good thing to be with Focus.
Let me just say that Dr. Evans is senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship. Jim, we're in their offices today, and what a magnificent campus this is. He's also president of the Urban Alternative Ministry and has a daily radio program called The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans. I might add that just last week I was listening to something that you said on that broadcast, Dr. Evans, grabbed me. I've been thinking about that ever since. I'll tell you later what that was, though.
Okay.
And Crystal is a mother of five. She has homeschooled, all of them, Crystal? Or
at
most
some
of
point.
Them? Yeah, if you're a homeschooling mom, you're always homeschooling, I guess. And has co-authored, as you said, Jim, this book, Kingdom Woman.
First of all, why did you two collaborate on this book?
Well, you know, I wrote Kingdom Man for Men, and we began to get all of these requests from women to say, okay, we've seen what God is saying to men being operating under God's rule. What is he saying to women?
Did you feel a little underqualified?
Well, yeah, I felt like, I'm going to need a little help here on this one. I can give the Bible, but I need somebody to give the emotion and the feeling and the experience, of which I have very little. So,
you're not in touch with your softer side.
I'm a little limited there, okay?
Too much time around the Dallas Cowboys, I guess.
So, Crystal is an exceptional writer and speaker and thinker, and yet she's got all the experience of motherhood and womanhood. And so I said to her, why don't you collaborate with me? I think this is your season. And everybody knows about Priscilla Shire, but Crystal has a lot to offer. And so she agreed to collaborate, and we put our heads together and took the Word of God and took the reality of what it means to be a woman, put them together, and I think a most phenomenal, fascinating book called Kingdom Woman.
Now, that is interesting, the two of you, father and daughter, collaborating on this book. Were there moments when you were looking and working on the manuscript where the maleness and the femaleness of it came out, where you guys were looking at each other like, what?
Well, it's more on my side, you know.
This is confession time.
Okay, you know, okay, this is what the Bible says. Her side is, yes, but this is where women are. And you must be able to take what the Bible says and apply it to where we are. And I'm saying, yeah, I'm the father. You don't have to say all that. You know? So, but anyway, it turned out good.
Now, let's get the real story, Crystal. Is that how it came down?
Yeah, basically. I mean, I actually think verbatim in the book, there's more than a couple times where I'm reflecting on what he's written. And my words are you serious? Like, God, are you serious? Like, does this really work? Does this really work? And yes, it works, but you walk with God and you see kind of in retrospect, just like we look at the Bible and we can see in retrospect, hindsight is 20/20, how God worked things out. Mm. When you're in the midst of living life, sometimes you don't really see that it's going to work out for you. And as the book progresses, I think there's a lot of that. There's a lot of this principle approach where this is how God works and this is what he did in the Bible. And then there's a response of this is what this looks like. This is how it worked for me, or this is how I realized that this particular attribute of God is true.
Crystal, we've been talking for a little while, and you strike me as a person that is just very honest in your heart.
Very.
I see that. I can feel it. You don't struggle saying, God, I don't get this, is my impression. And that's refreshing, where we're not faking it, but you're actually coming to the Lord saying, this isn't working, Lord. What I see in your word may not be working for me. How do you approach those times when you feel like maybe God has let you down as a woman?
Well, you know, there's a prayer in the New Testament, Lord, help my unbelief. And that's a prayer of mine on a regular basis. Faith in God, faith in Jesus Christ and what he's done for me is an act of the will. Sometimes you feel it, sometimes you don't. But most of the time, when you don't feel it, you can ask God to help your unbelief and believe without a shadow of a doubt that he will do that, that he will show up. Mm. And that if you don't choose to change your footsteps based on what you see, if you operate based on what you believe about him and about who he is, he will show up and show himself to be true.
You know, and that is a great word. I'm thinking of your situation as a teenager, because who you are as a woman is so shaped when you're a girl and when you're a teenager. And being the daughter of a pastor and experiencing that, the perhaps the perfection that's expected out of a pastor's family. I don't know if you experienced that, but I'm going back to friends that I have that have raised their kids with that bubble orientation that, you know, they're living in this bubble and the church wants them to be perfect, the perfect little family. That had to be stressful as a young lady. And learning to know God in that context and to develop as a woman. And I think, Tony, when we talked last time about everything that Crystal experienced as a teenager, a parent can lose hope if they get pregnant before they're married. You start thinking about, man, will this child come around? Talk about that as a father raising a daughter, because there's so many daughters that seem to go astray. How do you maintain hope that that daughter will come back?
Well, I guess the one thing that I try to do, don't do it perfectly, but I try to do it, is hold God to his word in spite of the way circumstances are looking at the given moment in time. I assume that what I see is not all there is. And because I assume that, I try not to let what I see control what I think and what I do. I go through the emotions. When she was going through her struggling period, I went through the ups and downs, me and her mother, emotion of what she was going through. But I continue to try to call on God to not let me be stuck in the mud of the moment. And as long as I could have hope, that's why hope is so important. Hope is joyful expectation about the future, that where I'm going is better than where I've come from or where I am. So when we looked at her during her struggling times, I not only saw where she was, I saw hope that the word of God gave me and tried to hold God to his word.
But Tony, that is so critical. So many dads particularly, I think, because dads can be harsh. And when you let your father down, that can really, it can destroy a relationship. So speak to those dads. What you're saying right there is so critical. If you have a daughter who is not living up to your expectations, what do you do?
Well, the first thing you do is offer unconditional love. Unconditional love says that I don't love you because of what you're doing or not doing. I love you because you're you and because you're mine. So that embracing of unconditional love. But at the same time, you have to call for repentance. You have to call for confession before God and others as necessary. And then you help with the process of restoration. How do we rebuild what is broken so that we actually come out stronger than we were before it got broke? Because actually, if people can feel love at a level when they're in pain, that they may not have needed to feel it before the pain came, which means you didn't need to give it at the level you now need to give it. But when you give it at that level because of the pain they're going through, there can be a even greater level of bonding. So to now have Crystal working with me, walking with me, working with me here at the church, work with us at the Urban Alternative, speaking in ministry, doing all of this stuff, it's exciting to see how God took her from where she was to where she is. And that's what hope does. And that's what unconditional love allows.
Hey, Crystal, in that context, you're developing as a young lady these ideas, these attributes. What did your dad do that kept you hopeful, that even in your circumstances, you weren't unworthy of God's love? What did your dad do to connect you to our Heavenly Father?
you know, he kept doing what he'd always done. There wasn't this change or shift in his treatment of me, his communication with me, or his willingness to be help, to be a father. And although we were pastor's children, and, you know, probably other people put pressure on you, I think the key thing with my dad, and we say it all the time, is that who he was in the pulpit was who he was at home. There was a consistency in his walk with the Lord that allowed us to know him first and foremost as dad, not so much as we're the preacher's kids. And that is what was consistent even during that difficult time. He was still dad. He was still more concerned about me and my heart and my life with God, more so than he was about himself, how he looked, and how this whole situation was presented to other people.
Well, and right there, that's so important. More concerned about you than how he looked. Wow. I mean, that's a big pressure.
That reminds me of our Heavenly Father. I mean, he loves us unconditionally. We mess up. I mess up all the time, but I know that there's grace there. As you talk about being a kingdom woman and write about that, how much of a struggle is being a kingdom woman for a woman who had a distant dad or a dad who didn't do, Jim, as you said, who didn't offer that kind of grace? I would imagine that's a challenge.
Well, it can be a challenge when you have a dad that failed you or had a dad that rejected you or didn't have a dad at all. And we're seeing more and more of that today in our culture. Before Eve ever met Adam, she was exposed to the Lord. Before there was any man in her life, God created her and he had to bring her to Adam, which meant that Adam was not initially in the picture. So your relationship with God as your father, or as Isaiah 53 says, if you're single, even God as your husband, that you have to learn how to place God in that position relationally. And that's, of course, also why he's given us the church, where we can be in a context of God being visible through people to touch us in the empty spots in our lives. And I think people being surrounded where God can be a father to the fatherless and a mother to the motherless and a husband to the husbandless, where he can be those things through his community of faith, is absolutely critical for people to hold on to hope when circumstances offer them none.
There's a story that you share in Kingdom Woman that I think all parents relate to, and I think it may have involved you, Tony. You were babysitting Crystal's child, is that right?
That's right.
And
don't
okay, this is good.
Me.
I like
that
this.
Did involve Tony.
Okay, this is every parent's nightmare, especially if you leave your kids with somebody else, even if it's grandma and grandpa. But I mean, when Jean would leave the boys with me early in our parenting, she always panicked that I was going to be preoccupied with something, fixing something around the house, and that one of the kids would go missing. Tell us what happened to your child.
Well, we were at a family camp not too far from here. We were staying in a cabin, and one afternoon when all the kids were sleeping, it was a great opportunity for the ladies to go to town and get some shopping in. So we left all the kids bedded down and ready for nap time with Poppy, as they all call him.
And you're Poppy,
I'm
huh,
Poppy,
Tony?
I'm Poppy, yes.
And so about an hour into our trip, I get a call from my dad that said the front door of the cabin was open, and that my oldest son, Trey, as we call him, was missing. And so we're 20 minutes away from the location. We're trying to get back, and he doesn't know where he is. And mind you, this cabin is surrounded by woods and water. Oh, water my. On one side and woods on the other. And so, you know, there was probably about half an hour there where you're just, you know, thinking the worst. You know, where is he? Who has him? You know, is he on the side of the road somewhere? And turns up he saw us leaving. He was in a diaper, that's all. It was probably 50 degrees outside. And he left the cabin chasing after us. And the front door was, you know, opening and closing as we were leaving. So it was probably not odd to my dad to hear the door open and close one more time, or at least open. Anyway, takes off down the street running after us, and saw a car going 60 miles an hour down the street, goes into the middle of the road, starts chasing the car.
Oh my.
They pull over and try to figure out whose kid this is. You know, and it could have ended up a lot worse than it did. But, you know, it's turned into a funny story. And it's a story actually my son remembers, because it's the time when he says, "Mommy, you found me."
Oh, man. I mean, that is a nightmare. Tony,
we
must
don't have
been
to keep talking about this. We spent far too much time on this already.
Just shows that even grandpa can fail at times.
Oh, my goodness. That was a scary moment. That was a scary moment, because he's out there in Never Never Land, And if we don't find him within an hour or two, it's going to be dark. Yeah. And it's pitch black out in this camp area. So that was a scary story. So, okay, what's your next question?
But you know what? Let me just add something. You asked a little bit earlier with women that maybe have had brokenness in terms of their relationship with men, how this works. And, you know, when my son said that to me, I thought that's just how God is. Sometimes we're in search of him and we're not quite sure how to attack the relationship or what the relationship should look like. But my son said to me, "Mommy, you found me." And the thing that we forget is that God is always in passionate pursuit of us. So sometimes when we're looking for him or we're trying to figure out exactly what things should look like in terms of our relationship, he's also looking for us. And that makes the journey of becoming a kingdom woman and having a vibrant relationship with Christ, it makes it doable.
Mm-hmm. And that is such a practical principle to pull out of such an embarrassing story for your dad.
Oh, you want to keep this going?
No, I'm just thinking you got to feel pretty good.
I backed off. I just kept coming.
Right.
You got to feel pretty good that she got that out of that story. So our guests today on Focus on the Family are Dr. Tony Evans and his daughter, Crystal Evans Hurst.
Let's talk about singleness, a single woman and her role. So many times at Focus on the Family, we're hearing from single women who have such a deep desire to be married, but the Lord hasn't brought someone into their lives. And they're trying to figure out, okay, is singleness going to be my lot in life? Speak to that woman and her uniqueness before the Lord. And how does she settle in her heart where she's at today and trust in the Lord for those deep desires?
Well, I remember having that moment. I remember thinking, I think it was my sister got married. Priscilla got married 2 years before I did. And I remember thinking around the time of her wedding, okay, well, I'm single. You know, plus at that time, of course, I was a parent already. And I may need to just buckle down and be prepared for a life of singlehood. And the Lord said to me, whether you're single, married or not is not the issue. What I want you to pay attention to is what I'm giving you right now to maximize the opportunities, the talents, the abilities that I want you to develop. And you've been overlooking that because you're looking past those things, looking for that man. So now that you've kind of come to the realization that that may not be in your lot right now, go back to what I'm wanting you to do anyway, which is to look at what is already in your hand and use it for my glory.
You know, I'm reminded of the stats, and this is simply discouraging. That's the only way to say it. And Tony, it involves both men and women, obviously. But when you look at fatherlessness in our country, it's devastating. And 40% of kids under 18 living in homes live without a father in the home. 40%. And here, Crystal, moms are doing all they can to carry that load. What are women feeling about men in this culture generally? It's a big question, but you've lived it. What do women look at when they look at men in the culture? Do they say, what are they doing, or how come, or Lord, what's
exactly
going on?
That's exactly the question. I mean, before there was this title of kingdom woman, I think the idea is there. I'm here. I'm doing all of this as a woman. I'm holding down a job. If I'm a single parent, I'm parenting. I'm doing all the work of two people. I'm having to work twice as hard as a man, and you know that maybe my counterpart in the workplace. I'm doing all of this, and you know, what is the man doing? You know, if the man I'm looking for, the man I'm married to, you know, the father of my children, you know, what is the deal here? But I think, you know, we've had hundreds and hundreds of years where women have been called upon to be strong at times of war, when men are off fighting battle, or, you know, husbands or fathers are dying at the hand of the sword, and women have to do it all. So this is not a new concept. And I think God really designed us, you know, the Bible talks about in, Genesis, how he took his time with the woman and he fashioned her. And I think he knew that we'd need a little extra, because not only did he call us to be a woman in these different situations in marriage and parenting and all that, but he knew that we would be called upon sometimes just as a result of the culture, or sometimes as a result of what men are not doing, to do more. And he built us to be able to handle a lot. And I love this word, kingdom woman. I love this title, because it implies that we're able to do it too. Not that there aren't different rules, different roles, different situations, and how those dynamics are applied, but that we're strong as well, and God created us that way.
You know, there are two stories in the Bible. Hagar is a single parent. She's been put out of Abraham's house. And now she's not only a single parent, but she's a single parent having been abandoned by the father of her child, Ishmael. And yet God meets her at the well with her tears crying because of her situation in life. And he gives one of his names and he says, I see you. I see you. And so to those single ladies and single parents who are struggling because there is no man there, God sees you. And he says, I am not going to abandon you. And then I think of Ruth. Ruth was challenged to go back to Moab and marry a non-Christian man because she couldn't hope to find a man in Israel to marry her as a Moabite lady. She made a spiritual, theological decision. She told Naomi, her mother-in-law, your people are going to be my people. Your God is going to be my God. She had to give up the hope of marriage. When she gave up the hope of marriage and committed to a relationship that was available to her, to her mother-in-law, because her husband had died, she was a widow, God supernaturally intervened and gave her a husband, and now she's in the hall of faith because she's in the ancestry of Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 1. So you never know what God's going to do tomorrow. Commit fully to him today. Let him handle your tomorrows to come.
I mean, that is encouraging, I hope, to women who are struggling in that singleness. Tony, let me ask you, you graduated from Dallas Theological Seminary a few years ago.
Yes.
But the history of the church, if you look at the early centuries of the church, first, second, third century, women played an incredible role in keeping the church moving forward, in helping people, in setting the orthopraxy of the church, in doing those deeds that really brought the Empire of Rome to its knees.
There would be no church. There would be no Israel. There would be no church. There would be no evangelical legacy if it were not for women. I mean, let's go all the way back. Let's start with Moses. If Moses' mother, Jochebed, didn't save his life, then there would have been no, from a human standpoint, savior for Israel. If Esther hadn't done what she did, then they would have been exterminated by Haman. If Deborah didn't step in her role, Israel would have been slaughtered by their enemies. You can go over and over again. If Timothy's mother didn't step in when his father, the Greek infidel, abandoned them, then that could have affected the church at Ephesus. And you can go on and on and on again. If in our own community, if Rosa Parks didn't stay down on the bus and stay seated, then the civil rights movement had never been birthed like it was, and that was led by the church. So on and on again, women are critical to the kingdom of God, and that's why we need kingdom women, because the kingdom, from a human standpoint, shuts down if women abandon it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know where to go now. I mean, that's incredible, and it's so uplifting. Mm-hmm. And Crystal, I feel that, I hope that women feel that empowerment and what you're trying to express in the Kingdom Woman message, that you can be everything you need to be in God, in Christ, and not have want and not have need in the way that so many women are experiencing today. Speak to that woman, though, Crystal, just one-on-one. When you sit down and have coffee with a girlfriend who's desperate, who is in a situation that just, she doesn't know where to go. Perhaps her husband has left her, and she's got three kids, and now she doesn't know how to make ends meet. What would you say to her across the table?
Well, I always keep it simple, and it's just that you can make it. But then I'm quoting from other examples that I know of, because I've seen other people make it. My grandmother had eight kids. My grandfather traveled a lot. And so she primarily, although she wasn't a single parent, acted in that kind of a role many times because it was just her with eight kids. So when I personally am looking for inspiration, I can say there's somebody I can put my finger on, and they've done it too. And again, that's why the body of Christ is so important. Even though we may know intellectually that we can make it, seeing that someone else has done it and having them say, you can do it too, is so very important. Personally, when I'm speaking to another young woman, I've been in so many different places. I mean, I've, you know, been in an abandoned situation. I've been single. I've been a single parent. I've been married to a husband who traveled. We have five kids. I mean, we've had even some sickness in our home recently. And I can attest to somebody just 2 years behind me, 5 years behind me, 2 days behind me, that you can make it. We have to encourage each other, not only that we can put one foot in front of the other, but that we can successfully be kingdom women.
In the book Kingdom Woman, you talk about John 15, where it says, abide in me, where the Lord says, abide in me. What does that mean to you, to abide in him?
Talking to him all day, talking to him all day. And I mean, I don't mean, again, these deep prayers, but just these, that he's right there at all times. driving down the road and you see a car accident, Jesus, I don't know what their name is, but you help them. Abiding in him where the line is open all day long. Now, there's this example that makes this make complete sense to me. There's a radio in my kid's room, and the antenna has to be up, and it has to be in position just to catch the waves. If it's not in the right position or if it's folded down, you'll miss the signal. Mm-hmm. And abiding in God's word is that. Abiding in him is that. It's where your antenna is up. You're living with your antennas up so that when he speaks, you hear. That when he's communicating something on a certain wavelength, you catch it. And it's just a way of living with your ears open, your eyes up, and open to what he wants you to do.
That is so good. We've got to cover the issue of submission. In the culture, that is the nasty word. And everybody struggles on that. The non-Christians ridicule the Christian community for this role definition. And they don't really understand it, in my opinion. Because when it's healthy, it's good. It's not abusive. It's not dictatorial. It's teamwork. It's breaking the tie, whatever you want to say. But, Crystal, from a woman's perspective and what you've experienced, what you've written in your book, Kingdom Woman, when you get to this issue of submission, what does it mean to you?
Well, you know, in corporate America, we understand it. We understand that because I work well, because I have many degrees, because I have 20 years of work experience, and I'm the vice president of operations, that does not have any impact on my role and my relationship with the CEO. The CEO is still the CEO, and what I bring to the table doesn't change that dynamic.
So it's well-defined.
It's well-defined, and both are well-respected, but they both understand their role. In the home, in my family, what I had to learn and understand, and it's been a process, is that submission does not mean that I'm less. Submission does not mean that I'm not talented. I'm not gifted. It does not mean that I don't have thoughts. It doesn't even mean necessarily that I'm not a leader in terms of my design and my personality. What it means is that when it comes to roles and responsibilities, there is one person who makes the final decision. And they may consider what I say. Actually, he will consider what I say. He values what I say. He values what I think. But there has to be somebody that in the end is responsible. And that's all that submission means.
Why do you think it is such a volatile issue in the culture? What's driving that?
I think a lot of it is that key to the relationship between a man and a woman in the home has also been used to abuse and misuse women over time, where women have been put down or considered less than or silenced, in fact, to say that you're not valuable or that the thoughts, talents, gifts, and abilities that God has given you don't matter as much as the ones that he's given me. And that's not what God intended at all.
This is critical. The woman is so important to God's kingdom program, including the family, that God says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, that the man's prayer will not be heard by God if he doesn't value the input of his wife. So a man is losing out on his connection with God not to give her equal standing with him before God. Because when they act as one, God hears them in a way he doesn't hear them when they are separated. So a man is a fool not to value his wife. In fact, when the Bible talks about submission in Ephesians chapter 5, before he tells the wife to submit, he tells the man to die.
That die is, to his wife.
That's right. He must be his wife's savior. So a woman should say to her husband, I really want to submit to you, and it's going to be a lot easier as I see you die. Okay?
Now, I'm not sure. We're talking metaphorically
what?
Here.
Metaphorically, yes. That is to die to yourself and seek my well-being and my highest good.
Right, and that really connects the whole issue of where men have failed.
That's
and
right, absolutely.
Because of that, we have a lot of the chaos in the role definitions today.
That's right. So what the husband and wife ought to do is he should get kingdom man and the wife should get kingdom woman, and they should like read it to each other and come out on the same page as a kingdom couple.
There you go. That's the
next book. Kingdom couple.
I like that. But you know, as we wrap up today, that really is the point, is that God designed this male and female in his image Now, he could have done it many different ways, probably, but he's done it this way. He's designed us male and female in his image, and we come together as one, as you just said, Tony. And in that, we learn about selflessness, hopefully, about giving and sharing and changing and being under God's authority as a couple. And I think that's one of the biggest struggles we have in Christian couples today is our ability to live it. Because I think when we live it correctly, the blessings of God are there. And I so appreciate the fact that you've talked about from a very deep personal level the things that have made you a kingdom woman, Crystal, and the wonderful direction that you've received from your father, Dr. Tony Evans. And let me just say thank you. Thank you for being with us on Focus on the Family.
It's an honor to be with you. It's always an honor to be with Focus.
Thank you so much for having us.
And that brings us to the conclusion of our conversation in the Dallas-Fort Worth area with Dr. Tony Evans and Crystal Evans Hurst. And Jim, I guess, I'm just thinking of women in our audience who are right now saying, oh, thank you. Thank you for that encouragement. Crystal really offered a good word for moms and wives and single women. She's been there with them struggling and has learned how to overcome that.
You know what I loved is her transparency, her willingness to share tough stuff and the things that she's gone through. That touches people's hearts. I mean, when people feel sincerity and authenticity and realness, because none of us live it perfectly. And so when we can attach to those things, we really draw close to their hearts. And I love her refreshing voice proclaiming God's message of value and worth and love for women out there. That is God's heart. And women connect with that. They know what I'm talking about. I hope you've really taken that message to heart today, that you are a woman of significance, that God loves you and desires to use you to advance his kingdom right where you're at. And thank the Lord for the women of the church. You do so much to keep it moving forward. The book Kingdom Woman was just released. Goes even deeper to give you those tools and those ideas to live a life of fulfillment before the Lord. I hope you'll get a copy today. I know it'll be worth it.
Well, I'd agree, Jim. I think this is the kind of practical resource that brings biblical wisdom and encouragement and hope, and it's the kind of thing that you'll want to have to pass along to someone you know, perhaps a daughter or a sister or a friend in your church. We do have a lot of resources for you to grow in your spiritual walk when you stop by our website, including articles, links, downloads, and more. Our broadcast was provided by Focus on the Family, and on behalf of Jim Daly and the entire team here, thanks for listening in. I'm John Fuller, inviting you back next time when we'll once more turn our hearts toward home.